Good morning. Not gonna lie, it's early. It's early when you sleep at 3 o'clock, right? So I'm sure y'all had a good time. But I'm just I'm really grateful to be here today. And shout out to Alvin. Thank you, Alvin. Yes, Alvin and I, we do have a deep, meaningful conversations. It seems like every conversation you have with them is something that uplifts you, if anything. But you know, I'm excited about this message. And in the morning, I'm a pretty excited person, and I'm still gonna be really loud and rowdy and stuff like that. So I understand maybe the energy, we're still kind of working our way up, and that's okay. I'm gonna try to feel the vibe. But you know what? This message is something that has blessed me and has changed my perspective. And my challenge today is to change your perspective when you're going through something difficult in life, right? Because chances are maybe there are things that we're not really willing to talk about with other people, or maybe with our therapist or whatever it might be. But there are things and there are challenges we go through. And sometimes you ask yourself the question, how does God see me in moments like this, right? So that's a question we're gonna look into. But before we get any further, we're just gonna pray really quick, and then we'll get right to it, right? Father God, we wanna say thank you, Lord. Thank you that you woke us up, that we have fellowship, that we get to just have a last time to kind of hang out and really just bless with one another and just really learn. We wanna ask that your spirit is present at this moment, Lord. Please speak through me, and I ask this all in Jesus' name, amen. So, as Alvin said, I am a physical therapist by trade, so, you know, I walk grannies down the hospital. It's the sweetest thing ever, but I really do enjoy my occupation. But, you know, I remember there was this one time, I think it was like, fall of 2018, I was going into PT school. I went to this really barren place called Andrews University, right? Super cold. Any Andrew people? Yes. I will say this, though, okay? There's this place called Baguette de France. There is no sandwich shop better in all of the states than in Berrien Springs, Michigan. But besides that, all we have is Taco Bell and McDonald's. But you know, but that's another thing. That's, don't worry about that part. But you know, I was going through PT school, and I was going through something, right? And this is the first time I've experienced what maybe some people call anxiety. Anxiety, I don't know if it was depression, I never like went to a therapist and really figured all this stuff out, but I was going through something, and I could remember that there were days where I just could not go to sleep. And it's this feeling of like, I don't know if you want to call it imposter syndrome, thinking that I wasn't good enough. What if I'm not going to make it, you know, when it came to school? And also between me and my relationship with God, I'm like, what if, you know, maybe there was like some different trauma from, you know, my experience in my spiritual walk, whatever it might be. But I was losing sleep. And this was going on for days. It was going on for weeks. And no one knew. So imagine, you know, you're like about to take a test for anatomy. You got to remember all the nerves and muscles insertions and whatnot for the gluteus maximus. But then at the same time, you're like, yo, I'm running on 4 hours of sleep. And it was rough. And it was rough to the point that, you know, like, even for me, like, I was like nearly about to like not pass certain classes. And it's not because I'm not smart enough. No, I think it was because I was going through a lot of things that people did not understand. And I remember it being in this little tiny farmhouse kind of thing. And I was like, God, why? Like, I'm right about to start my professional journey here. Can you give me a break? I thought I just went through something very difficult. Like, why? And the thing is this, I'm not here to answer the why. I'm not. There's so many other, you know, theologians that might have a better answer of the why, but I want to answer the how does God look at us at those moments? God, how do you feel towards me in these moments where all hell is breaking loose and you know what? I have no idea what's going on. Do you laugh? Do you care? How do you feel? And we're gonna do that, we're gonna look into that, and we're gonna look at the life of one person. You know, my message is really simple. We're just gonna look at one person, we're gonna look at an experience he had, and I ask one thing. Just stay with me, okay? We're gonna look at his story, and there's literally only gonna be one point. There's only one thing I want you to get out of this message, and you're not gonna miss it. Unless you fall asleep, so don't fall asleep. So, we're gonna look at the life of David. I think people forget, when you look at the life of David, you think of all the great things he's done, right? But there's a part of him that you will not hear about in children's story. You will not hear about so much in Sabbath school, and that's all the drama that he's had with his son Absalom. It's a story that literally I probably just looked into like a couple years back, and I was like, man, we're forgetting, we're missing this gem. But if you look at David, right, so in a nutshell, I'm gonna give you the like a really simplified version of kind of like David's like drama. He could have had like a reality TV show, it was ridiculous. But David had kids, right? He had three kids. One of them's named Amnon, another one's named Tamar, and then another one's named Absalom, right? And this is found in 2 Samuel chapter 13. So you guys are gonna have to look at that story and, you know, and read it for yourself, but I'm going to give you a really quick spark-noted version. It's not a story you hear in Sabbath school or in children's story, but basically, right, you have Tamar and Amnon, and Amnon basically commits sexual assault towards his own sister, basically rapes her. Horrible story. And you know what Absalom does? Absalom is furious. So what does he do? He kills his own brother. He kills his own brother, and you know, there's this whole dilemma going on. And David, as a father, I don't know how he felt, but must have been broken, angry. But still, he was like, I still love my son, nevertheless. So what does Absalom do? Absalom runs away, right? But David, being the amazing, kind person he is, you know, he's like, that's okay, fine. So Absalom runs away, and David's like, yo, dude, I still love you. So Absalom, what does he do? He comes back. But my question so far is, how do you think David's life was at that moment? Was it good? Probably not. Probably going through a lot of things. You know, chances are we don't have any siblings that murdered other siblings, like that's, or kids that done that to their siblings. Like that's a really dark place to be in. But that's what happened to David, right? But then now turn with me now. We're gonna go to 2 Samuel 15. What if I told you this? What if I told you it gets worse? 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2-4. If you have your Bibles, and all we're gonna look at is what is the story like, and then I'm gonna give you the punchline, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2-4. And if we can have, can someone read that? I would like someone to read that instead of me. Can someone read that? 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2-4. Any takers? Thanks, boss.
He got up early every morning and went out to the gate of the city. When people brought a case to the king for judgment, Absalom would ask, where in Israel were they from? They would tell them their tribe.
Sure. Sweet, thank you. So imagine this, right? So David's like, all right, bro, to his own son, I love you, you can come back, right? So Absalom comes back, and Absalom has the audacity to do this. He's like waiting in front of like the gate or whatever you want to call it, the village, right? And he's like, hey guys, yo, by the way, my dad, can't trust him, man. Not a good leader. Literally playing the role as the devil himself, right? He's deceiving people like, hey man, my dad, trust me, don't follow him. And it's crazy, if you keep going, it actually goes on to say this. He convinces 200 men that to actually go and rebel against his own dad. I have a question for you guys. How was David's day? How was David's day? Y'all ever have a bad day like that? No, you know, I get bad days, right? But my bad day is like, oh, my patient, you know, has a bowel movement while I'm standing. You know, like, that's a bad day for me, okay? It's pretty gross. But it's nothing compared to what Absalom's going through, right? But it gets worse. It gets worse. Someone else, we're going to look at verses 13 to 14. Can someone read that? 13 to 14, yes, sir. So imagine, okay, it gets worse, right? So David, you know, he's doing his thing, like, okay, his son's kind of like got 200 people to kind of revolt against him. But then he has to, like, the king of a kingdom has to run away. Why? From his own son? How was David's day? It's a horrible day. It was something horrible that anyone would have to go through, right? So first, you know, David got a son, kills the other son, you know, then his son that killed him comes back home, is basically telling everyone, don't trust my dad. Then after that, he has to run away for his life. But it gets worse. So they're running away, right? But it gets worse, and this is ridiculous. 2 Samuel, and stay with me, there's a reason why we're going through this. 2 Samuel chapter 16, we're gonna look at verses 5-6, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 16, so this is the context of this. David's finally running away for his own life with maybe some of his mighty men. But look at this, look at verses 5-6, okay? 2 Samuel chapter 16, verse 5-6. Can someone else please read that? There you go, yeah.
And when King David came to Bethlehem, behold, thence came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei,
Bro, this is the king of Israel. The king of Israel runs away from his own kingdom, and then you got this random guy by the name of Shimei who's throwing stones at the king of Israel. How was his day? Come on. Horrible. Absolutely horrible. But this is how David reacts, right? This is the punchline. I'm going to show you the quote that like absolutely makes this make sense. Go to verse 10. Someone read verse 10 with me, or to us, please. Same chapter, 2 Samuel 16, verse 10. So he's basically like, you know what? If this guy, if Shimei is going to curse me, let it be. That's fine. He goes on to say, like, you know, if this is what God allows, let it be. Isn't that crazy? So David, stick with me now. David gets his own son, kills his other son, and this son then runs away. But he's like, you know what, man? I understand you've done some pretty bad things, but I want you home. So the son comes back home. And this son comes home and starts telling people, oh, by the way, you can't trust my dad. David has to end up running for his own life with his mighty men. And then this random dude is throwing stones at the king of Israel. Throwing stones at him. But David, at this moment, he was like, you know what, God? If this is how it's going to roll, let it be. That's okay. But this is where, I'm getting heartburn right now. This is where everything changed my perspective. Can you put the slide on, bro? I'm a big fan of Auntie Ellen, right? Super, shout out to Auntie Ellen, but let me read you this. And the Lord did not forsake David, get this. This chapter in his experience went under cruelest wrong and insult, he shows himself to be humble, unselfish, generous, and submissive, is one of the noblest in his whole experience. Stick with me now. Never was a ruler of Israel more truly great in the sight of heaven than at this hour of his deepest outward humiliation. Wow. Phil, it's too early. Wow. They don't get it. Y'all don't get it. Oh my gosh, guys. Sorry, I get every single time, man. Dude, check this out, guys. David, homeboys did a lot of stuff, man. He's accomplished a lot of stuff, man. Kill the giant, sure, put that off the checklist. Lead out a kingdom, put that off the checklist. Have mighty men, put that out of the checklist. He's done so much stuff that honestly, we look at him, we're like, I wish I can be as great as David. But what does God say? God says this, yo, you think that's great? Do you know what the greatest moment he's ever lived? It's when he had rocks thrown at himself. It's when all hell broke loose, but still he was faithful. That changes everything when it comes to suffering. First of all, I know God hurts when we hurt. The psalmist says that God puts like all those, like he stores our tears in a bottle, but this changes everything. You know, I used to think that greatness was when you're able to preach in a crowd of 100, 200 people. I used to think that greatness is when you're able to get into medical school, dental school. I thought that was the greatest moment I've ever lived. Or maybe, you know, it's accomplishing that business or whatever it might be, getting married. I thought that might be one of the greatest moments I've ever lived, but I didn't realize this, that sometimes the greatest moment that you ever live is when all hell breaks loose. When nothing is going your way, when everything is falling apart, but still you're like, God, I'm going to be faithful. I want you to look at that next time when you look at suffering. There's a lot of hurt. There's a lot of hurt that's going to happen in life, right? You know, I knock on a lot of doors. I was a cold porter. So, you know, 3 years knocking on doors. Hi, my name is Josh. We're students working on a scholarship project, blah, blah, blah. Here's a vegan cookbook. You kind of need it. Boom, 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 whatever it might be, right? Sure. You send cookbooks, you sell, you know, things like that. And I used to think this. I used to think, you know, the best days that I'm ever going to get is the days when I get like 20 books out, 30 books out, you know, like books are popping. And we kind of made it sound like that was the greatest moment of a co-porter. Like the greatest co-porters are those that can give 20, 30 books out. But I realized that's not the case. It might not be the case. Don't get me wrong. Those are great things, right? But I think sometimes the greatest days of my days of co-porting was when the sun was beating on my back, when every door was getting slammed on my face, when dogs were barking, when smoke was being blown right in front of my face. But I was like, God, you know what? I don't feel that you're here right now. I don't know why this is happening. I don't know why it's so hard. But either way, I'm still going to be faithful. Because that's what true greatness is. We do, and we accomplish a lot of amazing things, right? We accomplish a lot of good things. We do a lot of things. We make it into school. We get into programs. We change the world, and those are all amazing good things. But let me tell you this. True greatness oftentimes is not just found on those accomplishments, but it's found in moments where you are faithful when everything falls apart. That's what makes the difference between a good person and a great person. So going back to that time, when I was in Andrews, I realized that I came to a point where I was like, God, I feel so alone and I don't know what's going on. But even though I don't know what's going on, I will be faithful and I'm gonna trust you in this whole process. And I look at that as potentially, what if that was my moment of greatness in God's eyes in all of heaven? David has done a lot of things, man. A lot of things that we wish we can do. But one of the greatest moments he's lived was when a guy was throwing rocks at him, but still he was faithful. I want to close with an analogy. I had the opportunity to run the LA Marathon, right? And I ran it with my boy Sam. And shout out, I got to give a shout out to my boy Ashton. He was the one that literally, we were like eating food in a Christmas party. He's like, hey, bro, let's run. I'm like, no. But he was like, okay, fine. But, you know, we ended up doing it. And, you know, I want to ask you guys a question. If greatness is found in a mile in the marathon, what mile is it found in? What mile?
Mile zero.
Mile zero. Every mile? Okay, you got every mile. You say mile zero, huh? Okay.
The last mile.
You guys think the last mile. You know what? I'm going to challenge that.
It's like mile negative five.
I actually think it's in mile 17 to 20. For this reason, when you make it to mile 25, 26, the energy is off the charts. You can see the finish line and it's right there. Everyone's hyping you up. You got so many people on your side and you just keep going. But I think greatness is found in mile 17 to 20. That's when you see the dogs come out. That's when you see the people that are like, yo, I'm hurting so bad, but I'm far enough that I can quit and it makes sense. But it's in that very moment where you gotta really pull everything out, right? And remember, we're gonna make it, you know, life, I think life very much is a race. We wanna make it till the end, but it's in those moments where it's mile 17, mile 20, where you wanna give up, where everything is going against you, but stay faithful. Why? Because that's where greatness is found. It's found in mile 17 and mile 20. It's found in the moments of darkness. It's found in like whatever confusion, but still stay faithful. Because you know, chances are there's someone hurting here. And I can't say it's gonna get better next week. I can't say that by next year, you know, your family member is gonna be healed, or that, you know, that the emotional trauma from your breakup is gonna be better, or you know, like failing that certain class, you'll feel better about it. I can't promise you that. But I can tell you this, that it's in those moments that sometimes greatness is found. It's faithfulness in those moments. So that's all I want to leave you guys with. Let's pray. Father God, we want to say thank you, Lord. We want to be great in your eyes, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, for your grace, and we ask for strength in moments where we feel like we have none. In moments where all hell breaks loose, we ask that you give us the faith of David, that even if rocks are being thrown or if everything is falling apart, that we can say, you know what, God, so be it. We will trust in you. Thank you, Lord, and we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.